Have your Bible. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. We are walking through the fruit of the Spirit right now. Been walking through that. We did love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. This week is faithfulness. Then we have gentleness and self-control. Okay. I know some of you won't need to come to that last one because you're so good at self-control. But then we'll do vision, our vision series when our students get back. And then we're going to do Exodus. Okay. Starting in October for 8, 9, 10 years. Not sure how long that's going to take, but we'll be there. It's just 40 chapters, okay? Don't freak out. You should be able to do that in 70 or 80 weeks. So, but today, faithfulness, okay? Because we're walking through talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm really excited about all those things and look forward to it. It's going to be a great fall, man. I'm just really excited about this fall, all the Lord's going to do in us and through us. So be praying for that as we get ready for students to come back and really get back in the swing of things this fall. But today we're talking about faithfulness from Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Again, we've been talking about these things. These are these things that the Spirit of God wants to produce in us and through us. And be reminded that these are only the Spirit can do this. We're not talking about morality here. We're not talking about being a better version of you. We're saying that as the Spirit of God has more and more control of our lives and we walk in line with the Spirit, He is going to produce in us these different traits. And one of these is faithfulness. And so I want to read Galatians 5, and then we'll talk about faithfulness today and kind of what are the things that I can do as the Lord is preparing these things in me. So Galatians 5, 16 to 25, Paul tells the church there, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They're opposed to each other, keeping you from doing the things you want to do. We all understand that. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh, they're evident or they're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, etc. Things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So these are the things that the Lord wants to produce in us, this fruit that the Spirit produces in us today, faithfulness. All right, I'll give you a couple of definitions of faithfulness. One of them from Tim Keller, the other one I couldn't find out who it was from, but it's not from me, so don't think I came up with it, okay? I will remind you again, if something good gets put on the screen here, I probably stole it from somebody, okay? Because I'm not that smart, and thankful for godly smart people and Google. So Tim Keller said this, faithfulness, loyalty, or courage, is to be utterly reliable and true to your word. Its opposite is to be an opportunist or a friend only in good times. And its counterfeit is to be loving but not truthful, so that you're never willing to confront or challenge. Next definition. Faithfulness is steadfastness, constancy, or allegiance. It is carefulness in keeping what we are entrusted with. Biblical faithfulness requires belief in what the Bible says about God, His existence, His works, His character. Faithfulness is the result of the Spirit working in us. So how is it that the Spirit wants to bring us to a place where we're more faithful? And you can think about people in your life from the past that were faithful. I just think about men and women that I know that love Jesus and that they were faithful to the Word. They were faithful to the Lord. They were faithful to the mission of God. They were people that their yes was yes and their no was no. They did what they said they were going to do. And this is who the Lord wants to create us into, and what the Spirit wants to conform us more into the image of His Son into being. And so how is it that He's going to do that? What should we do in light of that? And then really at the end, I'm going to talk about, what do I do when I'm not faithful? How do I respond when I'm not being faithful? So if you'd like to fill in blanks, you can grab this little worship guide here to help you kind of follow along if you want to do that. The first thing I want to make sure we remember as we jump into this and look at this is that, and again, we've said this every week, but do not confuse the fruit of the Spirit with morality, okay? We're not talking about being moral. We're talking about being led by the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. Our faithfulness must find its root in the faithfulness of God, not our self-effort. We're not trying to talk about you being a better version of you. We want to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And then as we fix our eyes on him, let the spirit-filled and spirit-empowered faithfulness begin in us as a response to God's faithfulness. We see God's faithfulness and who he is, so then I respond and say, I want to be like my creator. He has called me to be like him. He wants to conform me more into the image of his son. And since he is faithful, he has called me to be faithful. And so I want to let my faithfulness be a response to his, not just me trying to be a better me, because if this is about self-reliance, I will absolutely fail at it. If my goal is to be a better me, then I'm going to fail at that, okay? In the end, it's not worth a whole lot anyway. But if the goal is, because God is faithful, and because his Spirit has called me to faithfulness, then now I seek to be a faithful person who keeps his word and is a reliable friend and does all that God has called me to do, both in his mission and here as a person. Well, that's a different thing. It's a higher thing. It's a weightier thing. It's a more glorious thing. And we want to see that and do that and live that in light of God's faithfulness, in light of trying to imitate him. Galatians 5, I want to start there. Okay? It says, Paul tells the church here, be imitators of God as beloved children. Like, we want to imitate God. The characteristics that we see in God, we want to imitate that. Not that we will ever attain the perfection of God. We're not going to do that, okay? We're not going to be able to be as faithful as God is. But we should seek to imitate God. The things we see in God, we should imitate them ourselves as dearly loved children who walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So three places, I want you to see the faithfulness of God and then how in return we ought to be faithful as well. Lamentations 3 first, okay? Very familiar passage. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. You probably sang the hymn, Great is thy faithfulness, which comes from this verse. But you think about that, that the love of the steadfast, the constant love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every single morning. It doesn't matter how bad you totally wrecked yesterday, that his love never ceases towards you. That God's love is not conditional toward us. He doesn't say, if you act this way, then I will love you. No. His steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Every single morning, they're new. Every day. Every day, they're new. Unconditional love. This is who God is, okay? Love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. His faithfulness is great and unending toward us. And then Jeremiah says, in response to that, the Lord is my portion, therefore I'll put my hope in him. He says, look, because this is who God is, because his love never ceases, because his mercy never comes to them, because his faithfulness is great, since that's who God is, I'm going to put my hope in him. I'm not going to put my hope in myself. I'm not going to put my hope in others. I'm not going to put my hope in this city that's in ruins, okay, in Lamentations. I'm going to put my hope in God, because his mercies never come to an end. His love never ceases. His faithfulness is strong and great, so I'm going to hope in him. 2 Timothy 2, great passage. Paul says, the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died in him, we also will live in him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. God always remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. In Hebrews 10, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, because these things are true, because we can enter in the holy places by the blood of Jesus, because we have this great high priest, Jesus, over the house of God, here's what we should do. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Then here's what we should do. Let us hold fast to our confession of our hope without wavering. And here's why we should hold fast to that, because he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another with love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. This is who God is, and this is what we should do in light of that. A few things there under number two there. We should strive to be faithful because God is faithful, okay? And we want to imitate Him. We want to strive toward faithfulness because God is faithful. And we want to imitate Him. That, hear me, that is the only sure motivator of faithfulness. Okay? And look, even, I do a lot of weddings, okay? I've done many weddings of some people in this room. And I love weddings, okay? They're great. They're awesome. But don't think that the covenant that you make to one another is good, okay? But even when I think about marriage, I think the reason we want to be committed and faithful to one another is because God is faithful to us. Not just because I promise, so I'm in. No. I mean, yes, good. But there's a higher calling there. There's something bigger there. God is faithful, therefore I'm going to be faithful because I want to imitate Him. That is a greater motivator to faithfulness. I want to imitate my Heavenly Father who loved me, has saved me, has sent His Spirit to live inside of me. So I'm going to be a faithful person because God is faithful and I want to imitate God. And what are the things that I want to be faithful in? Three things there upon that. Faithful, first off, to God, all right? In my relationship with Him, I want to be faithful. I want to be the man and be becoming the man that He wants me to be. I want to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to God's plan and God's mission. Be faithful to the things that He is telling me to do. So God says do this, so therefore I do it because God is faithful and He's called me to faithfulness. So I want to do the things that God's called us to do. It's the reason why, church. It's the reason why we have such a heart and desire to be a church that exists for those not here yet, both in Tuscaloosa and at the ends of the earth. Because He's told us to. Okay? I know that sounds really simple, but why do we want to go to the nations to make disciples? Because He's told us to do it. Okay? Like, don't overcomplicate that. We want to be faithful to do what God's called. God's mission is that all the world would know of His glory and His greatness through Jesus Christ, right? So why do we go? Because He's called us to go. Why do we want to serve areas of our town that are underserved? Because He's told us that what you do to the least of these, you've done unto me. That's why we want to do that. We're not trying to make our name great. We just want to be faithful to do the things that God's called us to His plan and to His mission, both individually and corporately. So we don't want to overcomplicate that, and we just want to be faithful to be the people God's called us to be. Period. Because He is faithful. My response should be faithfulness to His plan and to His mission and to Him. And the last one there is faithful to one another. Be faithful to each other. To be who God's called us to be to one another. And so, how do I do that? All right. Again, that's the kind of the 30,000 foot view of this. God's faithfulness. He is faithful. Therefore, I should be faithful. That's the 30,000 foot view. So how do I do that? How do I, Jeremy Burridge, grow in being a more faithful person? What are some practical things that we can do to grow in faithfulness? First thing I would tell you is this. To learn to value the things that God values. And to do that, you're going to have to know what God values. Okay? That's why we want to know God through His Word. We want to know God truthfully. We don't want to make up things about God or say He values things that He doesn't value or confuse those things. We want to know God truthfully through His Word so that when I know who God is and when I know what God values, I can value the things that He values. And when I do that, I'm going to grow in my faithfulness. Second one, hard but good. Grow in faithfulness. Learn to care more for others than you do for yourself. Philippians 2 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each one of you should look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. We should be a people that care about the good of others, care about the good of this world. For the glory of King Jesus, we should care more for others than we do for ourselves. Third one, it's easy to say, but we don't always do real well. Keep your word. All right? You want to grow in faithfulness? Then do what you say you're going to do. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And part of that is learning how to say no to people. And learning how to say no to some things so that you can say yes to the best things that God has called you to say yes to. And if you're a people pleaser like me, that's a hard lesson to learn. I want to say yes to everybody. I want to say yes to everything. I do. I mean, I really do want to. I'm having to learn more and more. I can't say yes to everything. I have to say no to some things so that I can say yes to the main things God has given me to say yes to, right? But learning to keep your word also is going to mean learning how to say no. And you can say no in love, okay? You can say no for the good of the better things in your life. But keep your word. When you say something, do it. Be faithful to what you say. Keep your word. Your yes be yes, the Bible says, and your no be no. And then the last thing just to put there is to in growing in your faithfulness, be obedient to the things God has given you to do every day. Okay? Faithfulness is a daily decision. Faithfulness in the things God has given me to do every single day. Not like it's Friday, I can do whatever I want to do now. You know, cheat day on faithfulness. No. Every day, learning to be faithful, to be the person God's called you to be and do the things God's called you to do. And so I would say, like, don't overcomplicate that. So in my life, what does that look like? It needs to look like me being faithful to the Lord, okay? Knowing Him through His Word, spending time with Him in prayer, fasting some, all those kind of spiritual disciplines that are going to draw me closer to Christ. It's going to mean every day loving Jenny the way that Christ loved the church and loved himself, gave Himself up for her, okay? Loving Jenny that way. I don't do that every day, but I should seek to do that every day. Be obedient to the things God's called me to do every day. To Hannah and Clark, love them, raise them in the admonition of the Lord, not to provoke them toward anger, be patient with them, be kind to them, train them up in the way they should go, all those things, okay? And then in my job as your pastor, okay, do the things God's called me to do there with our staff and with you, caring for you and shepherding you and praying for you and preparing to do the things God's called me to do every day, being obedient every single day, long obedience in the same direction, leading toward faithfulness in God, to God, right? I mean, that's what we should be seeking. So when you think, man, how do I become that? How do I become faithful? How's God going to grow that in me? He's going to grow it in you by you valuing the things that God values, by you caring for others, by you keeping your word, by you being obedient to be who God has called you to be every single day. And we say this around here a lot. Even in the mundane things of life, we live in a hyper-sensitive, we love to blow things up, and we love for people to know everything we're doing, and we want the likes and the retweets and the credit for everything. And then I think when the Lord is calling us to faithfulness, it is hidden. And it is mundane, it is not seen by anyone but the Lord a lot of times. But the Lord sees and the Lord knows. He's calling me to be a man that is obedient to Him, even in those simple things of life. Even in the simple things, we learn to be obedient and we learn to grow in faithfulness in that. And so, we want to do that, okay? We want to do that and we want to be that. So what do I do when I'm not faithful? You're like, that sounds awesome, but that ain't me a lot of times. So what do I do when I'm not faithful? How do I walk through that? Because I think all of us, we want to be faithful, but when we look at our lives, probably go, man, that's not me a lot of days. That's not who I am. It doesn't really characterize me. What do I need to do when I'm not faithful? When I have time, have periods in my life, where I'm not being faithful to the Lord, being faithful to His plan, His mission, being faithful to others, what do I need to do when I find myself there? A few things to give you, and then we'll take communion. First thing is this. And if you find yourself in a season of unfaithfulness and sinfulness, don't wallow in it, okay? Don't wallow in your sin. Get up and repent quickly and run to the Lord. Don't wallow in your sin or don't wallow in your unfaithfulness to God or to others. Be quick to get up. Be quick to repent. So many times we just wallow in it. Get up. God's faithfulness is new every single morning to you. His mercies are new every single morning to you. So get up, okay? Don't wallow in your sin. Don't wallow in your unfaithfulness. Put that aside and run toward Jesus, okay? Don't lay there in it. Trust, number two, trust in the grace and forgiveness of God. And hear me, the only way you will get up is if you really learn to trust in the grace and forgiveness of God. If you are relying on your self-effort to be faithful, you will wallow in your sin because you're going to find out you're not very faithful, okay? You find that out about yourself real quickly. But if I can learn to trust in God's grace and God's forgiveness to me, then I can get up and I can run toward Him because I know, and He loves me, He's for me, even though I am this jacked up, He loves me. So I can run to Him. I can rest in His grace and forgiveness, and I can run to Him. The third thing is seek reconciliation. When you aren't faithful, seek reconciliation with God first and with others second. Okay? So when you're not faithful to be, when I'm not faithful to be the husband that God's called me to be to Jenny, and I need to be quick to say, babe, I'm sorry that I stunk it up today. I'm sorry the way I spoke to you. I'm sorry my harshness. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Can we work these things out? I know I hurt you. I'm sorry that I did that. Seek reconciliation. Seek that. And look, again, I can give you a lot of stories about what pride will do to a man, okay? But set your pride aside and seek reconciliation. You will never seek reconciliation when pride continues to grow in you, okay? So ask the Lord to put that away in you and seek reconciliation with God first and then with others. And then the last thing is this, we've said it 15 times here, okay? Rest in the truth that God's mercies are new every morning. Rest in that. Hope in that. That's what Jeremiah said. I'm going to put my hope in God, whose mercies are new every morning. And then get up, okay, and run towards those things we talked about to begin with. Okay? Get up, rest in His mercy, seek reconciliation, trust in the grace and forgiveness of God, then begin to value the things that God values. Learn to care more for others. Keep your word. Be obedient every single day. You see how that works together? Put those things aside and then seek these other things that God has called you to. Don't wallow in it. Get up, okay? Get up and run toward Him. Seek faithfulness to God. Seek faithfulness to God's plan. Seek faithfulness to others as He's called you to by keeping your word, by doing these things, valuing the things that God values, caring more about others, being obedient every single day. And I believe that as we do that, He's going to grow us. Spirit will grow us into being faithful men and women, faithful to God, faithful to God's plan and God's mission, and faithful to one another. And He desperately wants to grow in us. In our world, hear me, we're done. Our world desperately needs to see that. Needs to see men and women that are faithful to God, that love Jesus, and that are faithful to one another, that do what they say they're going to do. We say we're going to do this, we're going to do it. Okay? We're faithful. Faithful to one another. Faithful to them. Faithful to God. Our world desperately needs to see this. Desperately needs to see it. He's giving us opportunities, church. It's kind of crazy the kind of doors the Lord is opening us up for us to be faithful to the gospel here in this town and really around the world. And I pray that we will grow in that. But I would tell you, we have to grow in that individually before we can grow in it corporately. And we have to grow in it with one another here as we go and grow in that outside of here. We're going to sing a song here as we take communion that has just resonated in my heart this week. And I want you to, Martin, I want you to put those verses up because I want to read those real quick before we take communion. Because I want you to think about this as we think about God's faithfulness and us being faithful in response to this. Think about His mercy, okay? It says, what love could remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment. His life was the cost. We stood beneath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. It is that fuels faithfulness in us. Seeing the faithfulness of God toward us while we were yet sinners, that causes us to seek faithfulness that the Spirit wants to grow in us. And I pray that He would do that. Let's join together in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. A challenge to be men that act like men who are faithful to Your word and faithful to Your mission and faithful to be who You've called us to be women of God that care more for You than the things of this world. God, even when those words come off my lips, I'm just reminded that is impossible without Your Spirit working that out in us. Only You can bring that to bear in us. And so, Lord, we need You. We need to see You clearly so that we can respond correctly. And so, Lord, as we take communion here, I pray that we are reminded that this is how faithful and loving and merciful You are. That while we were still sinners, You sent Your Son, Jesus, to bear the weight of sin, to shed His blood for us. That we, though enemies of Yours because of our sin, might be adopted into Your family, filled with Your Spirit, and now be made like You in character. And God, may this be a good reminder for us of our need to seek You and seek faithfulness. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.